Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day. And we're best friends.
Yay.
Hello. Hello.
I can't wait to see you in person sometime in the next month.
One hopes, fingers crossed.
That will be a happy day indeed.
It will. I'm very lonely. I'm tired of hearing about COVID and all the problems.
I know.
It's depressing.
I try not to listen to the news. I will read the news.
Right.
5-10 minutes a day.
Right.
But I find my mood crashing the longer I stay on.
Right.
You know, BBC or, right. You know, Sky News and stuff. And I just think, stop it, Kristen. Does it really matter what you think about what Canada has to say? You know.
Right. Right.
I have been watching scary movies.
Oh.
In fact, I started to watch The Exorcist Part 3 last night.
Okay.
But I was getting really sleepy. And uh-huh. I remembered it, you know, from, it was like an early 90s movie. I
right.
remembered it as being really, really scary. And
right.
I wanted to watch a scary movie.
Right.
So this morning, I woke up to the unwelcome sight of snow on the ground.
Right.
And here it is, April 18th.
And, I know.
You know, this house up here on the Cape is not really the best winterized house.
Right.
So I'm freezing cold. And
yeah.
I thought, yeah, I'm just going to stay in bed and I'll watch the rest of the movie on my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And then I was afraid to leave my bed. So I finally said, look, you know, you're a middle-aged mother of adult children. Get out of bed. Stop thinking that the devil is in your cellar or something.
Right.
So I did, and then I thought, like, oh, I should take a shower because who knows when my last shower was.
Right.
I'm taking the shower, Joss, and the power goes out.
Of course it does.
And I thought, this has never happened to me up here.
No, well, you know,
I watched The Exorcist.
Because the devil is there. That's why that happened. You were watching The Exorcist, and
so
that's why.
4 hours for you. Get the car.
Yes.
Come hold me.
Yes.
And in addition to, you know, I have power back now, obviously, but in addition to that, I am also suffering from what I'm fondly calling pasta bloat.
Oh, I know what that is.
I'm just trying to eat what I have in the house. It's best to, you know, social distance, not go to the market.
Right.
And all that's left is pasta. So I had pasta for like my breakfast / lunch.
Right.
And I drank like a gallon of water.
Right.
I could bounce a quarter off my stomach for all the wrong reasons right now.
Well, I, yes, you know, moved recently and have had a hard time cooking because there are not enough cabinets in my house and I can't put things away, so I can't find things. So for the longest time, I couldn't find utensils.
Oh.
So that gave me an excuse to eat pizza every day, which I happily did. And now I'm eating cake every day. Every day cake.
Oh.
Cake every day. COVID cake is what I'm eating.
Oh, yeah. Nutrition is good. I've just let it really slide. I, you know, you try to buy vegetables, but then you have to eat them all quickly.
You
and
do.
On and day three after you went to the market and you have to wait another 2 weeks, you know?
Well, and for me, for the longest time, I couldn't find a pot. I was boiling pasta in a wok for the very longest time.
I see your wok. I praise you. In college, I used to make macaroni and cheese in my percolator coffee pot.
Of course.
Because we couldn't have, little, what do you call them?
Hot plates.
You couldn't have a hot plate.
Right.
You could have a coffee pot.
Right.
Nothing standing between me and my craft dinner.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But so what I do is I rigorously walk the dog because I need to do something with what I'm eating, which is not good stuff. It's really not.
Yeah.
So.
So we have a great letter this week.
We do.
And it relates to the pandemic and the lockdown.
Yeah, we've gotten a couple of COVID letters. I'm interested in how friendships have weathered the COVID pandemic. And so I would love to hear more from people, because this is the time to figure out who your friends are, is during the pandemic.
Yeah. And I also have to say, like, personally, I have been very grateful for my friends, but also, like, when I get really anxious or super lonely, I tend to withdraw.
Me too. Me
so
too.
When you're already physically alone,
yeah,
and then you don't want to update in your friend group or send an email, you just get kind of quiet, and people text you like, how are you doing? And it's like, I'm okay.
Right.
You know, and my beloved dog died, and I told my little inner circle of friends, like, please don't call me. I'm too cheery. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, don't be nice to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, so it's been up and down in terms of friendship and reaching out and stuff. It's not like I haven't talked to anybody, but I have found, you know, that because there's so little to say, too.
Yeah.
Still here, still working, still isolated, you know.
Yeah, it's all the same, right? It's the same. I get texts from people at work. I'm part of a group chat, which you know how much I love group chats. And they send, you know, little memes and texts. And every time I get one, I just want to scream. But I know that's the COVID talking. That's not really...
It's not
really me. Like, the isolation is hard, is really what it is.
You know, the Zoom and FaceTime and stuff are great, but I think it's also okay if you think, I'll take a pass today.
Yeah, 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 absolutely, absolutely.
So, this letter, I love, and it begins, "Dear ladies, just listened to your podcast on friendship in the time of COVID-19, and I am steaming mad. Why, you ask? Because not one of my friends has done anything to check on me, call me, text, email, whatever, and it gets worse. Some background. These are my friends from high school, and we are the ones who stayed in the area when other friends went off and never moved back home after college. There's a bond there that comes from never losing touch. We were all bridesmaids in each other's weddings, supported each other during divorce or two for one or two of the group, helped out with one person's autistic kid. There has always been some tension between myself and Amber, not her real name. Amber and I are basically the group leaders. If we're getting together, it's because I sent out a group text or Amber did. We're all in our 30s for what it's worth. Amber's fine. I don't hate her or resent her or whatever else you ladies have talked about in the podcast. She is just a hair across my ass. She rubs me the wrong way, but fine. We were never that close, but we ran in the same crowd, and we still do. She claims some of the group as hers, like the time when another girl, Sunny, not her real name, was getting married. I offered to throw Sunny a shower, and Amber was like, no, that's my job. Sunny is my best friend. Fine, I let her, even though I will be honest and say my bridal showers are kind of a thing, and Sunny had told me she hoped I would be the host. I explained that Amber really wanted to. Well, Amber did, and the party sucked. So we sat around and did nothing. No special drinks, no games, no big laughs. Since that time, the friction between me and her has grown. Whatever, I can handle it. I let a lot slide. Enter the virus. We are all holed up in our respective houses. I start organizing ways to get together, like taking walks and sitting on lawn chairs in each other's driveways. One of my moms does that with her neighbors.
Oh.
It's so cute.
Oh.
They bring their own wine and just sit in a big, wide circle and chat.
That sounds lovely.
Okay, so back to our friend here. Everyone is into it. Everyone, except Amber, comes. I ask if she's okay. She's not sick. No one in her family is sick. She just doesn't come. Maybe she's freaking out. I understand. Meanwhile, I text people, check in, make phone calls, and after a couple of weeks, I realize it's just me who's doing that. Everyone will take the call or answer the text. No one initiates it except me. Like, if I got COVID and dropped dead, my body would lay there for days before someone thought, hey, where's Shayna at? Not my real name. Whatever, right? I'm fine with it, except not really. I know my friends are used to me being the one who does all the fucking work. But then I find out that Amber has been getting the gang together in the town park to do yoga without me. I have not been invited. Apparently it's a regular thing twice a week. This is the straw. My back is broken. I have carried this group and been on what Kristen calls a den mother. Yes, that is what I call it. Uh-huh. I've been the den mother for too long, and now they're hanging out without me, and no one thought to include me. I sent a group text saying, what the fuck, why wasn't I invited? Crickets. One person says, after 2 days, and that's eternity in texting, I thought you knew and just didn't want to come. Then everyone piles on saying, yeah, we thought you weren't into it. So it's obvious that Amber invited everyone except me, and maybe told them I didn't want to come, which is totally different to not being invited. I hate them all now. I feel like it was a secret because not one person mentioned it, you know? Like, hey, didn't see you at yoga, what's up? It was definitely not an oversight. So here I am stewing in my house because I live alone, which is another story for another letter. Should I just cut these bitches out of my life? I have never felt so hurt and abandoned. I don't know why they would do this to me. Signed, fuming in isolation.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
It just goes to show you that, like, for each decade of life, there are still friend problems.
Always. But I wanted to start off at the top of the letter by saying she mentions there's a bond that comes from never losing touch from high school people. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that there is. I know that you feel obligated oftentimes to stay in touch with your high school friends. But is that a bond, really?
Right. Or is that circumstance?
Right. Right.
You all stayed in the area and you stayed friends. And,
right.
And there's sort of, I read into it maybe, but a sense of pride for having always, like, stayed where you were. You mentioned,
right,
like, we weren't the people who went off to college and never came back. And I think that, you know, that is something they have in common.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that it can be very difficult to grow away from your high school friends in this day and age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for one, Shayna has not moved away, so she still sees all these folks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, high school friends, that you're 14 to 18,
right,
you're there together. Now, you know, a lifetime later, double the years later, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
you might not have chosen these friends to be your friends, except for the shared experiences of the past.
Right.
And I know that my kids, you know, when we went to college, Joss, it was, there were no cell phones.
Right.
We called home every couple of weeks,
right,
wrote letters to our friends.
Right.
We saw each other over Thanksgiving and Christmas, but it was much harder to stay really close to high school friends.
Right.
Whereas technology makes it really easy now.
Right.
You know, you can text, you never have to grow up in a way, even when maybe you should.
Right. No, I think that's huge. You know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of social media makes it so easy to stay in touch. But again, question that premise. Is this someone you should be staying in touch with?
Mm-hmm.
Is this someone you, who are now in your 30s, which makes you a millennial, is that someone you would befriend if you were a 30-year-old woman, knowing all that you know now?
Right.
Is that someone you would befriend? And you may feel obligated to stay friends with that person because it's been so long, because you have all this history. But it makes it hard to sort of evaluate those relationships because you have this social internet connection.
Right. And it makes you feel unrealistically close because you know,
right,
what she had for dinner last night. Because
right. Right.
And you know when she's pregnant or where they're going on vacation. So that what might happen if you took, you know, technology out of the picture is that you'd see each other in person less frequently than you text and check,
right,
social media. And it would be like more interesting, quite frankly, to say, so what have you been up to for the past 2 months?
Right.
And then hear, well, actually, I'm expecting a baby and, you know, my husband and I are going on vacation and whatever. But the this false intimacy from constant contact, I think, creates friendships that aren't really strong.
Right. I agree.
And
I do agree.
I'm not saying like that everyone who was friends in high school shouldn't still be close. It's quite possible to, you know, to be very close friends with the person you met when you were 14 or 5 or whatever. But I just think that I think we've had a few letters where this idea of, but we've been friends since we've got our first periods and first boys, you know, so how can we not be friends anymore?
Right.
I think it says something about, like, because we can stay in touch, we do, but maybe we shouldn't.
Right. I mean, that's certainly something to think about. I think another thing that plays into this issue is there's like a girl gang thing going on here. And we've talked about this before. And the letter writer talks about she and Amber being the group leaders. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how productive that is to maintaining a friendship, having leaders and this sort of weird hierarchy in your group. So, I mean, it's just something to think about. Is that something that creates real relationships, this sort of hierarchy?
If you are always doing the work, then my experience has been then the other person isn't as into the friendship as you are. If you are always the one who has to initiate and nobody else ever does, no one ever calls you, checks in with you, you know, it rubs after a while. And you know, like in our friend group, Joss, we have, you know, me, the extrovert, and you, the introvert. And I'm probably more likely to say, do you want to do something than you are? But it doesn't mean that I never hear from you.
No, I know, particularly this time, I call you up all the time. Yeah. it's a little different. I think this is a little, I want to say manufactured, this sort of group leaders and hierarchy. And it's clear that the letter writer may have been planning things, but everyone else sort of graduated towards Amber because... Yeah. They all left her out of the yoga in the park situation.
Right. And, you know, Shayna, that's really hard and painful. And it's not easy to have that happen to you where you realize everyone has been hanging out without me. And that does say something. You know, you can believe that. Like, this has been a regular thing, and the fact that no one ever said, why isn't Shayna with us?
Right.
If Amber lied and said, I invited her and she doesn't like yoga and doesn't want to come, then Amber has done you a disservice. But you mentioned the fact that nobody mentioned your absence to you, which makes me think they either believed it or wanted to believe it or... Amber said, we don't need to invite Shayna.
Right.
And then, nobody wanted you there, which is just
a
really horrible and hurtful thing. But it says something.
It really does. It says a whole lot. And also, Shayna, I would point out, you mentioned that you don't resent Amber. That is such a lie. Please stop lying to yourself.
We hate her, and we got that came through loud and clear.
You hate her.
maybe hate's too strong a word, but you don't like
her. She's your arch nemesis.
She's your nemesis. You guys are in competition for who can host the funnest things, and you are keeping score. You know, you say the friction has grown between you and her. You say, whatever, I can handle it. I let a lot slide. But you also don't. I mean, that's just human nature. It matters to you that she is, you and she are in this competition. And she's won in this yoga group thing. And it really does suck because it's not like you can just go to a yoga class without them, you know? Because we're in lockdown. We're in a
pandemic. It's true. It's true.
So right now, I would say, you know, you said you wrote to them and said, what the fuck, why wasn't I invited? That's a very hostile way of asking a question. You're not going to have an honest conversation when you lead with hostility.
Yeah, everyone's going to say something to placate you. Yeah. And the 2 days that they waited in order to respond to your text was them struggling to come up with something to say to you.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
And, you know, I would think that there was probably a lot of texting back and forth between
yes.
saying, oh, shit, what do yes. we say?
Right.
I think
right.
it's, again, just human nature and especially like group dynamics nature. We have hurt this person. What do we do now?
Right.
Or she found us out. What do we do now?
Right.
So,
right.
Shayna, I would say if you have a friend who's closer than all the others to you in the group, I would ask her and say, you know, that was hurtful when I realized I wasn't included. And, you know, I know that I asked what was wrong, but I would really appreciate you being honest with me. Like, was it a deliberate snub or, you know, and if so, why? Because I feel like I'm a good friend and I always reach out to you guys and yada, yada.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to start a conversation.
But you also have to be ready for the answer.
You do have to be ready for the answer. And I think you should, you know, brace yourself with the knowledge that these people were keeping something from you deliberately.
Yeah, I think that's a very realistic possibility.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind, you know, manage your expectations that way. And
it might be that now is not the time for the conversation.
I know.
We're all anxious. We're all
I know.
Stressed. People I know. Are losing their jobs.
It's
and,
true.
You know, worrying about family and safety and when can I go back to work? And I just want things to be normal. So maybe now is not the time to have a come to Jesus conversation. Maybe you could actually let it slide. Keep doing your little driveway gatherings and see if people want to do them, you know, because I think you need them right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If they're your local buddies, you know, then it might be worth just like putting this aside for a little while.
For now, until we can start gathering again together.
Yeah, because if right now you lose your friend group, it might be worse because you don't right now have the opportunity to meet a lot of new people.
Well, no. I mean, yeah, you don't have – you have to be super, super creative to meet new people right now, and I don't know that that's the best thing to be doing. Just and you want to stay as social as you possibly can. I might avoid doing things as a whole group and just invite whoever to the driveway thing. And then sit in your driveway with a glass of wine and whoever shows up and that's fine.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, don't demand an answer. Be pleasant. Talk about, you know, neutral subjects.
Mm-hmm.
And if these friendships are meant to last, they absolutely will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just that hometown loyalty isn't a reason to be friends. It's because you like someone's sense of humor, personality.
Yeah.
You know, you like who you are around them. It's not just we were in the same class and we never left town.
And keeping score is not the way to build a relationship. Just FYI, not to say, I mean, you definitely were, but maybe they were also. It's simply just general advice. You can't keep score and think that your relationship is going to be healthy.
Yeah.
So
we wish you luck. You know, what happened is hard, it's poorly timed, and we'd love to hear how things worked out for you, so let us know.
Yeah, definitely let us know.
So, Joss.
Yes.
We have another letter to read.
We do, we have an EPP someone sent in.
And it's a winner.
It is. She mentioned things like seepage, and we knew immediately she was one of us.
I feel like she's my friend.
Yes,
so
immediately.
Could you do the honors?
I will. So, I suffer from occasional irritable bowel syndrome. It can strike with no warning and be brought on by eating something that didn't bother my system at all the week before. So there I was, driving my stepmother home after a visit with us. She lives 3 hours away. When we got to her town, we stopped for lunch. I dropped her at her home and hit the road back to my house. After about 45 minutes, my stomach and lower intestines started making those noises and cramping. I knew what was coming, but I was driving a stretch of highway with few bathroom options. By the time I got to the bathroom, my intestines were done and my sphincter muscle was getting the workout. We've all been there, Kristen. I parked, hurried from the car through the gas station, past the hot dogs rolling on their little tanning beds, and down the hall to the restroom. But knowing release was coming soon, the sphincter was already letting go. No. Instead of seepage, I had escapage. I made it to the toilet, but just barely. Thankfully, the restroom was empty and the stalls weren't the rickety metal kind, but had almost full-length wood doors. Because the escapage was nasty and severe. Did I mention I was wearing skinny jeans with knee-high boots? You did not. That is a huge thing to leave out. You've got to say those things right off the bat. I basically had to strip down in the stall while trying not to let my underwear come into contact with any body part or other clothing.
This was a huge endeavor.
And that is the story how a pair of my underwear was left in the gas station trash can and why I drove home commando style. You'd think I'd now carry backup pair of panties with me, but you'd be wrong. Listen, you should be carrying with you 3 to 4 backup panties. I don't know why you haven't thought of this.
Wow. Yeah.
When you have words like escapage and seepage in your vocabulary, right, you must have backup panties.
Chicken salad doesn't meet body this week, but next week.
I know.
When she described those noises, I was right there.
I've been there.
With her.
I've been there. Oh, who hasn't been there? And the cramping?
Yeah. The sweating.
Yeah.
The cramping.
Yeah.
And I can just picture her running into the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been there. We've all been there. But I say to you, EPP writer, 3 to 4 pairs of backup panties, and additionally some baby wipes.
Oh, there you go. Good idea.
Baby wipes.
Throw them in your purse. Yeah.
Right.
I don't think we're at adult diapers yet.
No.
But apparently, like, I see a lot of ads for them in the women's magazines. You know, they're getting, like, slimmer and easier.
Oh, yeah.
I also heard from some of my friends who are working the COVID pandemic from a medical standpoint. Because they're so busy, they're wearing those.
Really?
Because they don't have time to take a bathroom break.
Oh, my heavens. That is so upsetting.
I know.
Poor people.
I know. And they're really just like, the nation has called on them like never before.
Never before, but my goodness.
When you can't drink water in a 12-hour shift because it's too dangerous to take off your mask.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So anyway, if escapage is going to be part of your life.
Yes.
Those might be worth looking into.
You should look into that.
Good enough for the people on the front lines. They're good enough for us all, right? great story.
And, yeah.
Really good writing, too, I have to say. Really enjoyed this. I enjoyed your narration, Joss. And keep them coming. You're one of us.
Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends forever.